chapter 4, verses 15 through 16. Could not understand why I could not get away from the verses until Thursday. It hit me what God was trying to say. God was trying to say, he wouldn't let me do a schedule at the beginning of the year. I could understand that. I was troubled by it. The Lord said, do not plan anything. Do not make a schedule. I agreed to do some preaching, but I was kind of tentative about it. The Lord said, don't make a schedule. Then I look around and people are careless and unconcerned about the Lord. We do what we want to do.
Thank you.
How we want to do
it.
Say what we want to say. Say what we are not going to do. Do whatever it is we want to do, despite how other people feel about it. Step on each other's toes, talk about each other. We do all manner of evil in the sight of God and in the sight of each other. And then when trouble comes, we run to God. But God let me know that there are still a few that no matter what happens, up, they love God. Down, they trust God. Healthy, they give God the glory. Sick, they give God the glory. Money, glory to God. Reaching for lint, God, I still trust you that somehow you're going to make a way.
That's right.
There's nobody like God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 reminds us, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities or our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Lord, we've never been in a time of need. This show is now. You can take your seat. We're going to talk the best I can about grace, part 3. I'm going to talk about it as best I can. As best I can. I can't help but be who God made me to be. I have compassion for people. I go to the hospital to see someone else who I don't even know. If they're real sick and they're working on them, it bothers me. It bothers me to go in the rest home and have prayer with someone that I know, member of the church, family member, and then walk by the rooms of so many, which these preachers can tell, they do the same thing. Walk by people you don't even know, and walk in that room, just encourage their day, pray with them, but you can't go in every single room. But then I realized that the Holy Ghost came. So now we have, we're in what we call a state of emergency. That's why I want us to meet today. Like I said, I don't want you to be irresponsible. This state of emergency, the governor has closed schools, and we've shut down some jobs, we've shut down, even the places of worship have been shut down. But I believe that no matter what happens, that God is still going to get the glory out of it. Because you can shut down the church, but you cannot shut down the voice of the Lord. Amen. I just come out to remind you that if we don't be able to come to Archer's Grove next week, whoever you come in contact with, you let them know that God is in control. Go ahead on and be honest when the Holy Ghost brings up, even if it's bad, and tell that person what you're really going through, because they might be going through what you're going through, and you might have a little more strength than they have. Just go ahead on and tell them that I'm in this situation but God. Amen. Everything going to be all right. Amen. I don't want you to be irresponsible. Amen. In this area, they said that 100 or more should not congregate together. Amen. In some places like Maryland and D.C., it's 250. I think in Texas, it's 500. But whatever it is, I just stopped by to tell y'all, don't be fearful. Amen. Don't be fearful, but don't be foolish. Amen. Do everything that the healthcare workers are telling you to do, be smart. Don't call them folk face if you sick, stay at the house, wash your hands, do all the things that we should have sense enough to do anyway. But sometimes because we don't have sense, the Lord has to show us that you cannot do it your own way. stand up and talk about how great the United States of America is, and how we can bring enforcement on people, and how great our military is. Well, I ain't never seen a bomb that can kill a virus yet. Amen. Amen. So we do still need the Lord. Ain't that right?
Amen.
This virus, this coronavirus did come from Wuhan, China. And they say that one case said that two men were in a lab and they created this for biological or germ warfare. Amen. Y'all do know that military do.
Yes.
The germ warfare. Amen. You just don't have to kill a whole lot of people. All you got to do is just mess up their water and their food, and you're going to kill them anyway. Amen. But what I am saying to you is that when people do that, Sister Marie, that God is still in control. And the very population you tried to kill and control, you're going to mess around and kill yourself. Amen. And then let me put this to you while I got you here. That's true. That the Lord will protect his people. Amen.
Yes.
That if we hold up the shield of faith, that God will bless you.
Yes.
Now, some folks hear me say that. They'll say, well, see, that's just a preacher. He's just spiritualized. No, no. I'm saying what God can do. Amen.
Yes.
I'm talking about the one who's in control of everything. And he's in control of everybody. You better believe that.
Yes.
Wait. Listen to the healthcare workers. Listen to your government, because we're supposed to really, as Christians, more so, we're supposed to be listening to those who govern our land. Amen. Those elected officials. If nobody else listens to them, we're supposed to listen to them as long as they don't go against the B-I-B-L-E. Amen. When they go against the B-I-B-L-E, then they got a whole nother war on their hands. Amen. But just for health and safety reasons, don't be foolish. Be smart about it. Amen. Somebody. All right. So now the coronavirus, what it does, it's a respiratory disease. I'm going to tell you that. Most folks say, well, it's not that bad. It's not around here. Listen to me. Y'all. It's been around us a long time. And a whole lot of people have already passed away, and we thought it was from something else, but it was because of this. Amen. I'm not saying this to make you fearful, but I'm saying it to make you smart. To understand that if it was so bad, they would have passed or closed the schools a long time ago. Ain't that right? But see, we thought we were invincible, but we were irresponsible. Listen to me. If they, Deacon Lamont and I was talking about this, was talking about this yesterday. What we came to realize, and I couldn't believe they said this, if you sick, you wear a mask. And if you're not sick, you don't wear a mask. Well, see, that don't add up to me, because if you sick, you try to keep it in. But you telling me that if I'm not sick, that if I wear a mask, it's not going to help me? Well, if that's the case, then the people that's sick that's wearing the mask, they still give it off the germ. Ain't that right? Lord, have mercy. I just want us to understand. I just want us to understand that even though we trust God, I want you to get my first point. I want you to be smart. Okay, be real smart about what you do, because epidemics and plagues do come. But this is not just an epidemic. This is not a pandemic, just an outbreak. This is a global pandemic. People are sick, not in other states, but they are sick now in other countries around the world. So this virus really is a serious issue. Amen. Now, the elderly, they say, are at risk. Amen. So young folk, just because they say that you may not have it, don't be no fool, amen. The only reason they say young folk don't have it, because they haven't tested y'all yet, amen. And I'm telling y'all, don't be standing in front of grandma and them face irresponsible, because you don't know what you have. If you got a cold and if you sick, amen, cover your mouth, walk out the room, do whatever you got to do, but whatever you do, protect yourself. All right, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a politician, I'm a preacher, so I'm getting ready to leave all alone now. I hope y'all got to understand what I'm trying to tell you. Amen. Okay, let's work a little bit. We're talking about plagues, right? Pestilence is nothing but diseases. Amen. Prophecy says, if you look through your Bible, that plagues come from the God. Leviticus 26 says that plagues come on people who disobey the voice of God. Deuteronomy chapter 28 tells you a myriad of blessings from verses 1 through 14. It'll tell you blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed if you give, blessed if you come, blessed from verses 1 through 14 of Deuteronomy 28. But from 15 down to 62 verses, it's telling you about sicknesses, plagues, ask you a question as we talk about grace. Grace is sufficient for whatever you're going through. If you're sin, grace is there. If you're sick, grace is there. If you're troubled, grace is there. Tribulation, grace is there. But my question to you is, and Mr. Cook and I've been working on this thing right here, can your life exceed the grace of God? In other words, can you sin so much that you go across the line of God? I'm glad y'all asked. That's why I love Octave Gold, because y'all study and y'all know what to ask the Lord and y'all know what to ask y'all pastor. Amen. Can you exceed grace? Well, I'm going to let you figure it out for yourself. The Bible says, I told you that God will send some plagues. Ain't that right? Because of disobedience. Amen. Well, Romans chapter 1 tells me that people will take the word of God and change the word of God to fit how they feel. Preachers who don't want to live right change God's word to fit their alternative lifestyle. Numbers do whatever they want to do, and then they tweak the word of God to make it look like what they're doing justifies the word of God. But I'm here today to tell you that the word of God says what the word of God says, and the word of God means what the word of God means. You can't be saved and come to God and keep doing what you're doing. You got to give up some men. I won't name some men, but I might be naming it to Jesus. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of the mess that I'm doing and you doing that's not holy, you better stop doing it right now, because you can't exceed the grace of God. Argue with me about that. Romans chapter 1, verse 27, 28, 29. You go ahead and read it for yourself. Don't have time to turn it down. Go read it. Romans chapter 1, 26, 27, 28, 28 tells you in that book that if you don't listen to the voice of the Lord, what the Lord will do is God will give you up. Amen. And in case you think you can wiggle around that, he says it three times to people who tried to change the word of God. Now, don't argue about it, Brother Lord, because they say it's just for homosexuality. But it's not just for homosexuality. Homosexuality came because people refused to retain God in their body. But folk who lie, folk who cheat, folk who commit adultery, folk who do all manner of evil that God told us to stop doing, the same thing that happened to them is going to happen to us unless we change your ways.
Go ahead, Pastor.
Plagues.
Yes.
With it.
Thank
you. Disobedience. Exodus 32, 35. Then the Lord will send plagues on the people because of their disobedience. We ask this when God delivered Israel, our Hebrew people, out of Egypt. The water turned to blood because Pharaoh's heart got hard. They refused to listen to God. Frogs came. Lice came. Pestilence came on the land. Locusts came on the land. Boils came on the land. I don't know if you ever had a boil, amen. If you got them all over your body, boy, they got to be a painful thing. Then hell came. Y'all ever been in a hailstorm? Just a little bit of small hail? Can you imagine big rock-sized hail coming out of the sky? Not only that, darkness came. Yeah, we talking about daylight saving time, Brother Jimmy. Day. Well, I don't care if they turn it forward or backwards. Amen. I don't care if they turned their sun down to the east or they turned their sun down to the west. It was dark 24/7. And then after, they wouldn't listen. God said, okay, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. He took his people and shielded them in the land of Goshen. All the plagues that came on the land did not touch his people, amen. But the ones who refused him, it killed all the firstborn children, amen. And Pharaoh looked at them and said, y'all got to get out of this land, amen. But we're living in a time now where even the church has turned from God. Even the church has decided to do what the church wants to do. Amen. So just like this coronavirus, this plague who has crept in and we don't know where it came from, there is another plague called sin. Amen. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And when you start dealing with sin, death is going to come. The only remedy for sin is him, Jesus Christ, and the blood of Jesus that washes you whole from all your sin. Amen. Now the coronavirus 19 to 2019, because it was here last year, amen. That's why I told you, you don't know who's sick and who's not sick, amen. So go to the doctor, be smart about what you do, but never forget that God is a very present help in the time of trouble. Psalm 46 and 1, that you can call on God. He's still a healer, he's still a way maker, he's still a deliverer. And say, at the name of Jesus, every knee gon' bow. I don't care what it is, if it's got a name, it's got to come under the auspices of the Lord. So we're talking about rollabouts. Prophecy, listen to this. Listen to this. Prophecy comes before the play. In other words, God has given his voice to his preachers to warn us about our mess. And folks still won't listen. Preachers not listening. Members not listening. No, the world is not listening, and we're not listening. But when God tells us something, whether it's good or bad, it behooves us to do it. Listen to me. And because if you don't, the plague is going to come. Disease is going to come. And pestilence is going to come on the land. Revelation 15 declares that one day an angel going to come. He's going to have seven plagues in his hand. Now, they might find a cure, because I was talking to Sister Johnson about a woman, don't bring her name, but she said she predicted the virus, didn't she? And she said as soon as the virus came, the virus was going to leave. Amen. That was her prediction. But she don't know, like I know, that the Lord is going to set a plague one of these days that ain't nobody going to be able to get out of it. And what I love about it is the Bible reads that the church is going to be caught up and going to be out of here. That's why I behoove you every Sunday to stop playing church, because you don't want to be left here when the real deal starts happening. We already live in a bad world. Can you imagine the world without the church? Can you imagine a world without the Holy Ghost? Can you imagine a world without no hope? That's what it's going to be like. But we're going to celebrate till he comes. Because when he comes and calls our name, we're going to be caught up to meet him in the air. The Bible says when he appears in the air, that the dead in Christ don't rise first. And when you are alive and remain, we'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. You can do what you want to down here. I'm going to be with the Lord forever. Disobedience. You gotta stop it.
Thank you.
Then the warning comes.
Thank you.
God is always talking to us and warning us. Then the catastrophe comes. And before you know it, you were doing good one day and things happen bad the next day. Those of us who live long enough, have you ever been at lunch with somebody, celebrating with your family, and then you get that fatal call?
Yes.
My Lord. Everything was going good. You taking mama and them for granted. Mama and them gone. Taking your sisters and brothers for granted. Brother gone. Sister gone. I told y'all last week. Taking your church members for granted. Those who praying for you. Those who love you more than you even know that they love you. And now they gone. They mad. You mad about the choir. You mad about the building. You mad about the preacher preaching too long. There's a time when you don't want to hear the preacher preach. And you and I don't hear his voice because he's not going to be. Grace, here it is. I got grace. Talking about grace.
Amen.
Grace is not earned. Grace is not created. Grace is a gift that's given by God. Grace, because of grace, we are justified. In other words, we are made right by God. Because of grace, you are saved. Ephesians 2:8-9. Because of that grace. There was a story that said that a young girl had a pro and she wanted to understand, brother, what grace was. So she said she went to her daddy who was a preacher, and daddy said, grace is unmerited favor. And so she went to her mama and said, mama said, I don't know what grace is, but I do know that it works, amen. So she went to grandma and said, grandma, I want to know what grace is. Grandma ain't went to school. Grandma don't know nothing. Grandma know is that God made a way for her. Grandma raised 17 children by grace. God said she done fed them through the storm, through the rain. Said, grandma looked at her and said, baby, I don't have a definition for grace, but all I know is that it is amazing. And that's what I got to tell y'all today, is that God's grace is amazing. Sick one day, well the next day. Fruit one day, and one day God can turn your situation around. Folk that's talking about you, God can raise you right over your head. So he said, brother, get it? I'll make the enemies your footstool. Make folks keep on talking. Let them keep on praying. not been touched with our infirmities, our weaknesses, our sicknesses. He knows what you're going through. But the difference is, ain't it something how you call somebody? They might know, but they can't help you. God always can help you. He knows before you ask it, and he has the answer before you get there. I'm going as I tell you. They say they can't find an antidote for Corona 19. That's all right. I know the one who knows the antidote to Corona 19. If he would touch, if the woman with the issue of blood could touch the heel of his garment and be made whole, I still believe he would help. Bible said that he was so powerful that when he walked through the land, everybody was sick. So that God, they touched him, that they believed in him. It said all was made well. Not some, but all. Now, let me show you that it still works in the church. When Jesus had died and resurrected, amen, 3 days in the grave, and in the third day morning, he got up with all power in his hand. He gave the power to his church. You know, well, preacher, how do you know? In the book of Acts, it said Paul was a tent maker. Paul was a preacher. Paul was a former devil. Paul was a former persecutor. Paul was a former hater. But when Paul got converted, when Paul got saved, the Bible says one day Paul was making tents, little Deacon Lamont, and he walked by folks, and he didn't have to touch them. Just the very shadow of him healed people. And I want to be so powerful into God that if you meet me in food line, and if you sick and rub my elbow, that something's going to happen to you. That people in your body and save your soul. Yeah. Grace. We need grace today. Grace, the song says grace is amazing. The song says grace has brought us safe thus far, and grace gonna lead us home. And that's what the song says about grace, amazing grace. But I feel like how the Bible talks about that grace. Amen. Today, church, you might not think you need grace, but you need grace. You know why you need grace? Because grace always comes first. Look in your eyes. If you want peace, you got to have grace first. Because the Bible always says grace, and then it says peace. Amen. But if you want mercy, everybody need a little mercy. Amen. And if you want mercy, you got to have grace first. Because we read in Psalm 23, we don't read it right. We say goodness and mercy, because that's really what it's saying. But goodness ain't nothing but grace. and grace ain't nothing but the love of God in you. I'm gone when I tell you that. I got to go when I tell you this. Reverend Wiley tells this story. I love it. I can't tell it like him, but it fits this sermon. Amen. It says that they had a prayer meeting. Amen. And in the prayer meeting, they did like they normally do. Amen. They did a little prayer. Amen. The prayer didn't go right. And they sung a song in it. Song didn't quite go right. Then they just did worship didn't go right. And testimony service didn't go right. So they start taking a roll. Amen. They said, okay, let's see if mercy is here. Mercy said, I'm here over in the corner. They said, well, what about grace? They said, well, grace is, I'm over here in the corner. Well, that's just for practice. What about peace? And peace said, I'm over here. Amen. I'm present. Amen. So, grace is here, mercy is here, peace is here, safety is here, love is here, all the fruits of the Spirit is here. And then they said, wait a minute, still somebody missing. They say, grace said, I saw a man who was sitting on the steps when I came up to the meeting, and said he was on the steps with his head bowed down. Let's go see who this is. So they all got together, and they went outside, went down the steps, and they said, hey, man, who are you? So he looked up and said, I'm love, amen. And they said, well, hey, love, why are you not in here? He said, because y'all don't want to keep me in your mind, and y'all don't want to love each other, y'all don't want to care for each other. But grace said, we can't work unless you in the building. So what I've got to tell you, when love is in the building, grace works. When love is in the building, mercy works. When love is in the building, everything works. Because love covers a multitude of sin. Love will do it. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is merciful. Love is graceful. Love is everything that you need. Amen. I'm trying to tell y'all here today, before we leave, you might have to stay at home. You got to